Chapter 13, The Money.
And action.
I was now in a bit of a predicament because I'd just moved our business into new premises on a 3-year lease, but one of my biggest clients was now bust and my big earning job was no longer happening. I'd made the classic mistake of having absolute trust when in business you shouldn't do things until the paperwork's signed and the job is definitely on. If you can, wait until you've been paid before you make the massive commitments. Basically, in business, although intuition is lovely, experience will tell you when things will or won't happen. If you don't have the experience, then do one simple thing. Stick to the facts. I have a £1 million job for you, says excited client. That's amazing, you say. If you can get the PO over, I'll get it all booked in and get it moving. While in the background, you're credit checking, looking at previous work, the business reputation, ignoring the exciting stuff like creative, that comes once you know it's a real project and a real, reliable client who will pay. Doing the work is only half the battle. Getting paid is where it really counts. I myself had chosen the location of Newbury as my new base, which was very much influenced by Paula as she'd worked for Quantel in Newbury, a company that back in the 80s were very successful in the media industry. Quantel made computer systems for digitally manipulating moving images, editing videos, general image compositing. They were in fact the machines I'd seen on TV as a kid being used to paint the animated cells on the Warner Brothers behind the scenes documentary that I keep banging on about. So, being based in the same town as Quantel, and also Sony Broadcast, for me was a great thing. Well, I thought. Sadly, as aforementioned, the building I'd wanted, which was the right size and a reasonable rent, became unavailable at the last minute, and Sandstorm was on the brink of a big deal to do a number of productions. We needed the offices to do the work. Up until now, everything has been done at home, in my spare room, and clients were shown work in London in an ad hoc edit suite. So we took the plunge, got serious, and signed the lease for a building which was much bigger and more expensive than we needed. It was a massive risk, but incredibly exciting. A great lesson in how not to do business once more. In small business, get the work first, act second. In the bigger business world, everyone lives in the overdraft, often for years. But in the small business world, where one man is solely responsible for the business and the business's money, then there really is no business to hide behind. To hide the debt. Synergy was a great example of this for me, and it actually heightened my focus further on running a business without any debt. I was so sure that the work was coming in that I'd rushed to the decision, and it worked out to be the wrong one. Always take your time when making decisions that hold you down for 3 years for something that might not be right for your business. Most people can't commit to a relationship for 3 years, not even a car, so an office, well, that's a seriously unsexy thing to commit to. Hey-ho, I wasn't dunno. I was new to business, and I was finding out that Paula was too, actually. I'd presume that just because she was older than me and had been employed, that she would know the ins and outs of business. But that isn't something that comes with age. It's something that simply comes from making the wrong decisions every now and then. It comes from running a business, not working in a business. I was learning that very quickly. For a small business, the type of arrangements we had with Synergy and other training suppliers was the way forward. All we didn't do was look to the future and line up more of those, really. In a similar way to retrospectively feeling I should have stayed at the agency longer, I too felt that maybe I should have stuck with the easy money that training was providing a little longer. If nothing else, we should have put agreements in place that secured us a business premises but without the extreme overheads of our own office. That said, our new office was stunning, a beautiful big Georgian building. We had a machine room in the basement, a CGI room, a reception, a client lounge, a great edit suite, and lots of storage. It looked great, it was very boutique-like, very much like the edit suites I'd worked in around Soho when I was freelancing. The only problem was, the boutiques I'd worked in Soho were exactly that, in Soho. A boutique in Newbury was not quite the same. And again, if you want to work in a boutique-style film production company, why not approach an existing company and see if you can help them? That way you get the space in return for services, rather than in return for huge sums of money. I'll explain why I'd originally thought Newbury was a good option. Okay, it's not Soho, but still a good option. I lived in Swindon, a town with a dreadful reputation. A dreadful reputation that was deserved. It's a poor excuse for a town, really. All the history's been demolished and replaced with poorly thought out construction from the 60s, a time when all construction seemed to be badly thought out. All the rich history of the town gone, with 60s architecture dominating the skyline. You'd need to do something amazing to rekindle the energy of that town. But Swindon had failed to do it. It's a town that was formed on industry that no longer existed, and although they'd successfully branched out to embrace big businesses from other sectors, the town still felt, you know, cheap and unloved, really. It felt to me that big business was only there to save money rather than because it was a good place to be based. And so that's why I chose to keep away from Swindon while establishing the business. To me, I had to be in London, but Paula was insistent that that was the wrong thing to do, as that would make us look like, well, just another film production company. In the years to come, I realised that was a personal move on her part rather than in the interest of the business. But in all fairness, we didn't have enough clients or funds to make the move into London without borrowing money. And without doubt, London was completely oversaturated and very overpriced. It would have given us no differentiation from the competition. Paula, very much like me, didn't think borrowing money was the way to go. In the end, Newbury seemed a good option, a beautiful town, closer to London and with good road and rail links, a great town centre and a bit of creative young buzz. But any town that isn't London just, well, isn't London. If it's outside the M25, it could be Reading, which is 35 miles, or Edinburgh, 350 miles. Either way, in the minds of a London client, it's too far to travel. So we ended up with a great office in a town no one would travel to. The type of work we did, mainly edits at the time, generally didn't take long, so if a client had to travel out of London and back, the whole day would have gone for them. Going to an edit suite in Soho could have been done over lunch, and they'd be back in the office 30 minutes later. Convenience is often greater than presentation. Hello, Argos. Luckily, Sandstorm had loyal and talented staff, if only three of us, who were firmly focused on upcoming trends, and as a business, we were still focused on guaranteeing delivery and value for money. This at least gave us a pretty cool unique selling point, the only problem being that anything on a budget, unless done on a large scale, wasn't going to make us any money. And it was still really only valid to people in the west of London. This is a great lesson in business, which I'm sure is obvious to all. It doesn't matter how good you are. If there's travel involved in your job, people would rather it be local. Hence, the media hub of Soho works so well. Every producer you're going to work with knows the area and they're comfortable there, both as a location and an assurance that your company, by virtue of the fact you're in Soho, know what they're doing and have access to many creative and talented people. Also, people who aren't in London appreciate that there is a square mile in London where they have to go to get the best results possible. Being in Newbury means you can paint the same picture, but only directors and producers in the local region are truly going to champion you. Luckily, champion us they did. Every client we worked with loved our offices, our staff, and our work. We got some great projects and started to turn out some really great work on a constant basis. Finally, Sandstorm as a brand was starting to take shape. Our USP was working and people were very happy to work with us. One of the main things when you're working in the media industry is being comfortable with your surroundings, because you're going to be there quite a bit, especially in the early days. Our office was exactly that. It was ultra comfortable, very stylish and inspirational when being creative, and it made for a brilliant working environment. So although the days were long, we were finally doing the work we wanted to do, so to the rest of the world, Sandstorm was a safe investment. Sadly, going back to the negative, and I seem to be doing that a lot, these projects weren't really worth enough to keep the company trading. We were losing money quite quickly. If a client failed to pay or they were late to pay, it made a massive difference to the quality of our life, stress levels, and the atmosphere in the office. Paula was absolutely fed up with working in the industry by this point, for stress reasons really. She just couldn't bear the media industry anymore. The business world is a cruel one, and although Paula had been in employment for over 20 years, it just hadn't prepared her for how fickle business is. Being an employee, you take home a wage and you know what you can do with it. But when you run a company, you take a risk. And if you win, you win big. And if you lose, it can be pretty horrific. Working hard and seeing zero money in your account at the same time is pretty soul-destroying. I personally like to know that there was no money because it pushed me on. Some others might ignore it and pretend it wasn't there. I compel you not to run your business that way. Paula was not the type of person to look at the numbers. She knew they were bad and she was fed up with it. A real job presented a monthly income for her. She needed to know that she had something at the end of each month. She didn't care how she got there. She wanted security, and Sandstorm, sadly, couldn't provide that. However, as she'd been in broadcast and was now disillusioned by the cruel world it was, she wanted to make a complete career change. So she left, went to college to learn physiotherapy for 2 years. In that time, Sandstorm hit big lows. We were struggling to keep afloat, and I had a few great indignities, really. The first, I had to speak to my landlord at the 18-month point and confess there was no way I'd get beyond my break clause of 2 years. He was quite understanding and allowed me to cancel the contract at the 2-year mark. but it left another 6 months before we could leave. Secondly, my car insurance came up at the same time as the rent, the building insurance, the salaries, a totally unexpected VAT bill, and also a client owing us over £25,000. I was suddenly quite short of money. It had all come at an awful time, especially the VAT bill. I'd received an unexpected call from them and they'd come in and audited my books to discover that I put a payment into our account on the 31st day of the third month of a quarter, which, although it hadn't cleared until the third of the next quarter, was owed in the previous quarter's VAT return, aka immediately. To them, the date it was banked was the date it was owed, not the date it cleared. That money had long gone to pay our overheads, and until the overdue £25,000 came into the Sandstorm bank account, I had no way of paying this VAT bill. A VAT bill that, joy of joys, grew with interest on a daily basis. We got a few small payments in, which luckily covered my car insurance and a few other bills, but a couple of bills down was not going to solve the VAT issue or pay our overheads. Fingers crossed, that overdue £25,000 would clear soon. It was, as I'm sure you've come to expect by now, due from a major multinational business, who were, now months overdue, to a very small business. I kept hoping, and I spoke with their accounts department regularly, with the assurance we would get the money soon. But we didn't, and the day came that we needed to borrow from the bank. It was a horrible day for me, literally and emotionally. I got into work and prepared to head off to the bank when Paula called me. She didn't want the company to owe money to a bank, and she was insistent that it would be easier for her to borrow the money, and then I could repay her over time without incurring any interest. So, she made the arrangements, and to this day, I have no idea how much she borrowed, or who she borrowed it from. We discussed an amount of £10,000, and regardless, she covered all the costs for the company for the next few months, while we waited for the money to start coming in. At the time, our overheads were around £4,500 a month, which might not seem like a lot, or might sound like a fortune to you. Either way, as a small business with lots of money overdue, but nothing in the bank, it was a lot of money. In the end, the £25,000 overdue amount was paid, very late, and this was partly due to my inexperience in dealing with large sums of money. The amount should really have been cleared before we undertook the work, but instead, we did the work, forgot to invoice for a month, finally invoiced, and then didn't chase the client in the correct way. So many mistakes that added up to the darkest point in Sandstorm's trading history. Simple rules that can be followed to lessen these issues. The most important of those is a PO and a credit check from anyone you work for. Worse still, by the time it was paid, there was still nothing in the bank because the payments went straight into covering overdue bills and borrowed money. Always remember, it doesn't matter how good the work is, if you're not totally focused on the payment and getting the payment in quickly, you're going to be wasting your time. In effect, not billing for a month after work means you're giving the client free credit, credit which, if they borrowed from a bank, they'd pay for. When you're running a small company, you're running a business that needs to make money to exist. If you give free credit to clients and then don't chase it, but every day you wait, you're losing money. Especially in the modern day, this is 2010, where credit is hard to come by. Most of the businesses you're working with won't be able to get credit from anyone. So you can now force clients to pay, even a part payment to cover your costs, before you do the work. Of course, if you're just starting a company, this will be difficult. But we, in 2004 or so, were 4 years in and didn't need to be giving out credit willy-nilly as we did. Lesson learned, yet another lesson. At the time, £25,000 seemed like a lot of money. In business, though, it isn't, especially if it isn't in your account, because interest's expensive, borrowing is expensive. If you look at £25,000 that you won't get for 2 months, by then you'll have paid 2 months of rent, 2 months of salaries, freelance fees, equipment fees, electricity bills, business rates, fuel costs, web access, phone bills, all borrowed money. It might even be on a credit card with, you know, 17, 20% interest. Maybe you're just on a bank overdraft. For me, however, I just had the embarrassment of borrowing from friends and family, a tiny overdraft and a credit card. Really, in business, the only way to work is to have an agreed overdraft to use in emergencies. I'm not saying live in the overdraft, but some days you need it. Most importantly, you need your client's payments on time, and it's your responsibility to make that happen, not theirs. Master your money and you are one step closer to mastering business. Good work will keep clients coming back, but no money in your account and you'll see no business for clients to come back to.